Hello, happy Monday. Welcome to Point and Line to Head, Elevating Hairdressing, the podcast all about art and design theory for hairdressers. I'm Cody. I'm a hairdresser in Washington, D.C. We spent the last couple weeks talking about invention as it relates to hairdressing and sort of ingenuity and how to push ourselves and our creative concepts. And this week, I wanted to talk more about perception, how people see art. And this sort of is a continuation of an episode in the first season. And but before we get into that, a quick reminder, the Point Line Tour, hashtag Point Line Tour campaign is going on. So if you would like me to come do a Point and Line to Head seminar in your city, hashtag Point Line Tour with the city, why you'd like me to come there, a quick little thing on that. Gotten a few responses on Facebook so far, and I will be announcing sort of the final cities in December on the Point and Line to Head Facebook page. So stay tuned for that. And my education calendar, still working through it, trying to nail everything down. And that should be coming out very soon here. And I have one last episode after this in this second season. So I'll resume season 3 at the beginning of the year. So I have to figure out a date that that's going to all start up again. But, you know, like all of you listening, I work in a salon as well. And with all the craziness around the holidays and how just sort of swamped things get, I am going to take a break here. Just sort of realistically, I don't think I can be recording these constantly with all that going on. So next week is the quote-unquote season finale, like this is House of Cards or something. So stay tuned for that next week. But for this week, let's get into this sort of perception and quote-unquote the science of art. Now, in previous episodes, I've talked about how people look at works of art. Now, as hairdressers, we are designers in a unique sort of sense, and we create our own kind of art. So understanding how people look at, interact with, and perceive works of art really helps us create effectively. In a couple of episodes now, I've talked about there's two major parts to perception. So there's quantitative versus qualitative, and there's internal versus external. Quick recap on those. So internal versus external. External meaning what the work conveys to people looking at it, what it outwardly expresses, versus internal being, what do I have as the artist? What have I put into this work? What have I locked away? What have I left for the observer to discover, in a sense? So after someone views the work of art and observes the external, eventually getting to the core and understanding sort of the internal, the motivations, the underlying concepts, all of that. And then quantitative versus qualitative, which is something that can be studied in most every industry, whether it's creative or not. But for us, the way that we look at quantitative and qualitative is how they interact with each other. Meaning, quantitative are anything that can be measured, assigned a numerical value, say the length of someone's hair, anything sort of concrete within the composition. Then we have qualitative, so qualities, which are things like color or temperature or feel or things that don't have a numerical value necessarily, things that can be interpreted differently depending on who's looking at the work. So in our field, in something creative, we find that the two of these influence each other. So for us, putting short lengths next to long lengths of hair make the short hair look shorter and the long hair look longer. Or putting a dark color underneath a light color makes the light color look even lighter than it actually is. It's things like that, where we can use these really fundamental pieces of perception when we start playing with them and we start actually utilizing them and experimenting with them, we're able to unlock a whole new sort of playing field for our work to exist in. Now, that's sort of the first part of understanding how someone looks at a work of art. And this idea of perception applies to any creative field, whether it's architecture or furniture design or clothing design or painting or ballet or music or whatever it is, anything creative can be looked at in this manner. And to understand all these little bits and pieces about our quote-unquote audience, lets us create work that actually gets the ideas across that are in our head. So we have two major parts here in this conversation. We have theoretical construction, and then we have story and logic. So theoretical construction, going back to shape and light and movement and balance. So all of the theoretical components of the work, whether they're concrete or abstract, the actual components of the work. And then we have story and logic, which are the things that allow the observer to understand the work. So starting with theoretical construction, these are sort of tangible pieces and sort of plastic facts in a way, and things like shape, light, balance, movement. Now, we've talked about all of those separately, so I won't explain each and every one of those. But to go back over what all of those mean to us as hairdressers, shape or form or geometry is sort of our major physical building block as hairdressers. Then, what sort of animates the geometry or the shape is light, things like color and temperature and depth, things that allow us to understand the shape that's in front of us. And then, balance, meaning sort of putting the viewer on sort of the right playing field to understand the context of that shape and light and why it's there. And then, movement, which is the sort of animation of all of the pieces together. So how does the viewer look at the work sort of physically, sort of where are their eyes attracted? How does the observer move through the work visually, and sort of how the story is conveyed in that way? So those are the physical components, physical slash theoretical components that we use to get our story or our concept across. Now, within each one of those, we have sort of emotional responses to shape and movement. So if our eyes move downwards across the work, it has a different feeling than if our eyes move centrally upwards in the work, for instance. And shapes, so rounded shapes have sort of a softness and movement to them, while square shapes or rectangles or things with corners are very rigid to the eye. And then light, color, temperature, weight, depth are what guide the eye and reveal sort of all of the physical components to us. Talked about that in the last season. There was a whole episode on that, and I'm going to sum it up to one sentence there. And then balance, meaning sort of setting the stage. And so right away, the viewer has an emotional response to each and every one of those theoretical sort of components of the work. whether it's sort of really visceral or sort of an afterthought in their head, is up to the concept that you're trying to convey. So if I want a really sort of dramatic response to something that I've created, I'm going to employ different tactics and use different shapes and colors than if I was to try to create something soft and subtle. And then the second portion of this is story and logic. So first we understand all of the building blocks of the composition. So everything, all of that theoretical construction. Story and logic are what put those pieces in order, or allow us to put those pieces in an order, arrange them in a certain way, so that the viewer understands what it is we're trying to say with our work. So without actually being there to talk someone through each and every component of the work, the story should be conveyed in the end. Now, when I talk story, or when I say the word story, it gets people confused. I had this comment in a class recently, and so story is not necessarily like the three little pigs. It's the idea that every component of the work sort of communicates within itself, and every sort of bit and piece and detail of the work lets the viewer understand why they're all there. Hopefully that clears that up. If not, then leave me a comment on the Facebook page and see if I could write it out a little better. But the idea of story is not necessarily like once upon a time, the triangle and the square. It's more, although that is a book that I would read. So it's not necessarily story in a traditional sense. It's story in that looking at the work lets us understand every component and why it's there. So let's consider this in the context of painting, because I feel like that's where we see a lot of this theoretical stuff. So let's think about the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo. And everything in that, where sort of the themes that are hidden away, the internal portion of what's painted on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, is up for interpretation. But every single piece about that particular painting is representational. Meaning, every piece of it can be identified to someone looking at it. We understand the people that are involved. And as we look at it further, we start understanding the sort of internal, what that painting is trying to say to us, meaning sort of the story. So there are internal themes and internal moods about looking at that particular work that someone feels or might feel. But it's the story that guides us through the entire work. So with that, there's an obvious sort of story and obvious sort of motives behind why that story was painted. But then if we move to something more abstract, we get a different sense of quote-unquote story. So for us as hairdressers, I find that looking at abstract works, and this is for me, me as a hairdresser, I find that it clues me in to a lot of these theoretical details. And the fact that what we do is not necessarily painting people on the side of someone's head, although there are sometimes people that do that, day to day, it's not about painting something representational on someone's head or, you know, drawing something representational on someone's head. So I find looking at things that are really abstract and really about the form and the use of color let us understand a lot more about our work and how we convey stories as hairdressers. So let's think about, Pablo Picasso's The Dream. So this is, and I'm sorry if you're driving, please do not pick up your phone and try to Google this. But so it's this woman seated in a chair and she's sort of asleep and she's got her head resting on one of her shoulders. Now, it's abstract in the sense of the details are not really sort of painted out the way Michelangelo might paint, but it's not abstract in the sense that we understand the major forms, right? So it's a woman, she's probably sitting in the chair. We understand the position she's in. From the title, we understand her actions. But it's the use of color and the use of form and placing this figure in a certain way in this composition. I will let you look at the picture and make these decisions for yourself or form these opinions for yourself. But it's the way that he uses all of those pieces, shape and light and balance and movement, that let us understand why she's sort of sitting there, this moment that's captured in this painting. And looking at things like this are even more abstract, like something from Kazimir Malevich, who painted like black squares on canvases and things, really lets us understand how we can create with very little to get a story across. Now, what will inspire you is different from what will inspire me, so I'm not going to tell you where to look for this. But I find that paintings are an endless source of inspiration and ideas, not necessarily in a sense of I'm going to recreate this painting on someone's head, but the usage of shape or proportion or little sort of theoretical details is interesting to think about in our medium. And to get back on track here, so the overall composition or the overall communication of the composition is decided by the theoretical construction, things like shape, light, balance, movement, and then the story behind the arrangement of the shape and light and movement and balance. So it's this simultaneous existence of these plastic and tangible facts and our interpretation of why they're there in the first place that makes the composition. Now, the observer makes sense of what we've created and is, in a sense, linked to our thought process through our work. So when the observer looks at the work, they, in theory, should understand the thought process that came about that let you put the pieces where they ended up in the final composition. Now, what's amazing about art is that everyone interprets it differently. So if we go back to the very, very beginning of this whole now 19-minute conversation, everyone perceives things differently. So internal and external, quantitative and qualitative. So the qualities are interpreted differently by every single person. So that concept is going to have a different effect on every person that looks at it. And the internal sort of motives that they pull out of your work are going to differ. They might be completely different than what you had in mind, or they might be a different version of what you had in mind. Someone might pull out an odd set of details. It makes them come to a completely different conclusion than what you had in mind. But that's the interesting thing about art. And when we're really great as artists, the observer understands why we've placed everything where we've placed it. And at the end of the day, art is a conduit for ideas. So by looking at something, it can inspire someone, bring someone to tears, make someone feel happy, there's this endless range of emotions that our work can actually pull out of someone. And to finish up here with a final quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and this one happens to be seasonally appropriate. So he said, "We are individuals. So are pumpkins. But every pumpkin in the field goes through every point of pumpkin history." Now, what he's saying is sort of everyone is different, right? And that's something I feel like I've said in every episode so far, but everyone is different. But in order to get to a place where you're different, you have to understand all of the steps along the way. Everyone starts out the same way, grows up, goes through relatively similar biological processes, and then winds up as the adult they are in the end. And that's a really oversimplified version of humanity, but we'll just sort of stay there so that this episode isn't another, like, 30 minutes on all of that. But the same goes for us as artists. So every single one of us will end up producing a different kind of work, whether it's radically different or it's just slightly different. But it's because of sort of those steps along the way and our interpretation and what inspires us that makes us different individuals. But in order to get there and to be a successful creative professional, a successful hairdresser, we have to understand all of the little details and fundamentals that allow our work to shine and allow our work to exist in the way that it's supposed to exist. I want to thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week for the season finale, quote unquote, and when that season 3 is going to start up again next year. Make sure you're subscribed so that you get notified when new episodes come out. You can also find Point and Lines Ahead on Facebook. And if you'd like more information on this podcast or other education opportunities, you can head over to pointlinehair-education.com. Thank you again so much for listening. I'm Cody, and this was Point and Line to Head, Elevating Hairdressing.